Now, the benefit of a specialist agency is that they get really, really good at the service that they're providing, especially for the vertical of legal, and their performance will generally outperform a full service agency if they're in competition with one another. A full service agency has PPC, and that is released to a specialist agency. More often than not, the specialist agency will outperform the full service agency because they have so much more expertise in that area. Welcome to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Series. My name is Adam Arkfeld, an entrepreneur, marketer, and seeker of high-performing habits, tips, and strategies. Each week, I'll bring to you an elite performer, a legal expert, or simply a strategy to help you see and follow the path to personal greatness in your firm and life. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Adam Arkfeld. I'm your host. And today we are doing a solo podcast where we're going to be talking about how to hire a PPC agency for your law firm. So we're going to be discussing A, why lawyers hate PPC marketers, B, different types of agencies that you can hire, 3, the agency compensation models, and then what red flags to watch for when you're hiring a PPC agency. We have this video that we have we have slides. So if you want to watch this on YouTube, you have a great visual. But if you're going to be doing it on audio, this is primarily for the podcast. So nothing on the slides will be all that important if you're listening on podcast. The reason I wanted to do a solo podcast today is because hiring a PPC agency is really challenging for a lot of attorneys. And every single time I have a conversation with an attorney, they talk about how difficult it is to trust the marketers, determine who to hire. They always talk about, you know, lead quality being junk and things like that. So I just want to talk about all those different variables and how you as an attorney can hire someone with confidence and know that you're hiring the right type of PPC agency. So let's get started. So the very first thing that I want to talk about is the goals of marketing, which is very simple. And there are really 5 main goals that I hear from a lot of different attorneys when they're looking to run marketing. They want, 1, quality leads. 2, a trackable ROI. They want to know how their campaigns are doing. 3, they want that ROI to be positive. You know, they don't want to be losing money on their marketing. 4, they want a consistent flow of leads. And 5, they want a partner that's going to be able to help them. So 1, quality leads. 2, trackable ROI. 3, a positive ROI. 4, consistent lead flow. And 5, a partner to help you. Now, the problem is marketers don't have a very good name in the legal field or in any other field for that matter. Typically, they come across as a little bit scammy. A lot of times they don't produce results. And this is very frustrating to attorneys and to just businesses in general when they're working with marketers. So, I like to create this persona called Marketer Matt, and Marketer Matt talks about how incredible his results are when he's seen with other attorneys. You know, he's delivered, he's filled up an entire calendar for 30 days with 8 bookings a day. Sort of vague about the details of how that happens, but there's a screenshot of a calendar that you might see on social media that has, you know, all these different time blocks blocked in, or they're standing next to a jet, or they're standing next to a sports car, or something to that nature. But the style of marketing that you see, you just kind of generally don't trust them. It's kind of like, well, how did you actually do that? How did you actually get there? And so I think just the mere representation of how a lot of marketers position themselves, especially on social media, breeds distrust. And then when those marketers are hired, a lot of times they're not able to stand behind the promises that they guarantee or that they have shown on social media. You know, that worked for this other attorney, but for whatever reason, it's not working for you. So marketers just really irritate attorneys. It's impossible to analyze the ROI on a campaign because if they're generating results, not delivering clear reporting, it's just hard to analyze it. Another thing that frustrates attorneys is that they always have to pay the agency more when they increase the spend. So many marketers have a percentage of ad spend model where they charge based on the ad spend. So if you're spending $10,000 and it's 20%, you're paying the agency $2,000. And if they go up to $15,000, then you're paying the agency another $1,000. So you're paying them $3,000. And it's a little bit odd because the work hasn't necessarily changed, just the ad spend has changed. There probably is a difference between spending $5,000 and $40,000, but it's not a 8 times increase in effort put into the campaign. So I know that's frustrating to attorneys. Many times attorneys are complaining that they feel like their accounts are on set it and forget it. and that they wonder what their ad managers are even doing. And then they don't necessarily know who to hire. It's kind of a gamble on whether or not they're actually going to get results. So all of these things make attorneys really angry and frustrate them. So the question is, how do you hire a marketer and who should you hire? There's four different categories of marketing providers that I'm going to talk about today. We're going to go through each one and the benefits and downsides of each. There's not a right solution for everybody. There's not one angle that works the best and that's the one that you should go towards. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the four different types of solution providers that I think are categorized into these buckets. Then you decide what works best for you. So the very first one we're going to talk about is the full service agency. Now, a full service agency is a marketing company that offers many different services. Oftentimes, they will offer websites, SEO, PPC, branding, email marketing, you know, flyer design. They may do media buying for TV, things of that nature. So a full service agency offers all of the services. Now, what tends to be the challenge is if you have a smaller company that's full service, it means that one person is handling many of the services. And so they kind of become a jack of all trades and master of none type of scenario. So if you have a very large company that you're working with, and there are very large companies in the legal marketing space, they might have a team of individuals in one of these categories. So they might have a team of SEO experts. Let's say they have five SEO experts on staff that service the SEO for all the clients. They have five or six PPC people. They have a handful of branding people. In order for a full service agency to have teams that are servicing each of the services, they typically have to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, on the small side, 30 people up to maybe 50 people. That's a smaller full service agency that really has a strong foundation to provide the services that you need. Now, what happens is that if a full service agency is smaller, so if you're talking to someone and there may be 5 or 10 people, they offer 10 different services. Well, the math isn't that complicated to figure out that either one person is responsible for that service for the entire company, or if there's leadership and there's business development and there's other roles, one person is responsible for two services. On its own, that's not the biggest deal. However, if that person leaves voluntarily or involuntarily, there's all of a sudden a gap in that service offering. So if someone's doing PPC and SEO for a full service agency of 10 people, and they're doing that for that agency's 40 legal clients, and that person leaves because they decide they don't want to work at the agency anymore, or they get fired, all of a sudden there's a gap in that. And that means that no one is actually doing SEO or PPC, or they're bringing in someone from another area of expertise to kind of cover. They might be bringing someone junior, or they have to hire. Regardless, it's diluting the quality that the agency, diluting the quality of the services that the agency provides. Or it's creating a gap where no services are really being rendered. As you know, when someone puts in their 2 weeks, it takes, at best case scenario, a couple of days to get up a job posting. You start receiving applications for a week to 2 weeks if it's a position that's easy to fill, like maybe front desk or something of that nature. Then you have to set up interviews and interview. Best case scenario, you're hiring someone in 30, and then they have to deliver 2 weeks to their old job. Best case scenario, you're probably 4 to 6 weeks. If someone puts in 2 weeks, then that leaves a four-week gap. Now, for these types of specialties, design, SEO, PPC, these are not positions where, as an agency, you put out a job posting and you get 100 different applications in a week. They're very difficult positions to fill because they're highly specialized. So a full service agency does allow you to cover many services under one house, which can be a benefit if you don't like managing multiple vendors. They tend to be more of a jack of all trades, master of none type of business. However, there are benefits of interdepartment working, expertise across multiple areas. Their pricing might be more flexible because some months they might be doing PPC and others they might be doing SEO. A lot of agencies don't do it that way. They do charge for each one individually, so the hours aren't flexible. But a full service agency is a very common option in the marketing space. But just know that unless it's very large, probably diluted services. And if it is very large, they tend to be quite a bit more expensive. Now, the next type of agency we're going to talk about, the second type of agency, is what I call a specialist agency. Now, a specialist agency just means that the agency or the marketing company provides one service for legal, or one service for everybody. But, you know, one service for legal is probably the best. Now, what that means is that they are not diluting their services across a bunch of different products that they sell. There are specialist agencies in just website development for attorneys, just SEO for attorneys, just video creation and media buying for attorneys, just Facebook ads or Google ads for attorneys. Now, the benefit of a specialist agency is that they get really, really good at the service that they're providing, especially for the vertical of legal, and their performance will generally outperform a full service agency if they're in competition with one another. A full service agency has PPC, and that is released to a specialist agency. More often than not, the specialist agency will outperform the full service agency because they have so much more expertise in that area. Now, they don't offer other marketing services. So let's talk about the size of the agencies again. If you have a 10-person specialist agency and they're only doing PPC and there's some leadership involved there in sales, let's say three people are administrative, then you have seven PPC experts on the team versus the full service agency of even 20 people, they may only have one or two PPC experts on the team. So you can see that the full service versus specialist really plays an important role. And then the size of the agency plays an important role there as well. The other benefit is that there's redundancy between within the role itself. So if there's seven PPC specialists and they're all just servicing legal PPC clients, A, they're going to be very good at generating leads for legal. And B, if one of those people or two of those people leave voluntarily or involuntarily, there are other people to fill in the gaps fairly easily. Now, the other people might become a little bit over capacity, which is not a good thing, but it will not be the same impact as someone leaving where no one is really there to fill the space, or they have to spend 6 to 10 weeks to try and hire someone to fill that space. So a specialist agency, if you're looking for something very particular, is a very, very strong option. They don't offer multiple services. They don't, you will have to work with more agencies, but they are specialists in the role. They are masters at their trade typically, and you will generally get better results. The third category that we like to talk about, or the bucket that I think is important, is lead vendors. Now, lead vendors in some ways are like a specialist agency, but the relationship between a lead vendor and a law firm is different. So lead vendors generate leads in different ways. They might have an informational website that gets quite a bit of organic traffic. And when someone does a search learning about criminal defense, they go to the website, they read about their answer, then it says, do you want to find a criminal defense attorney near you? They kind of click a button that says, great, enter your contact information. They fill it out, and then that lead is generated, and they're selling that lead to an attorney in that area that can help them. Now, that is a very common example of lead generation for lead vendors. It's very often done with organic SEO. It's also very often done with Facebook advertising, Google advertising, YouTube advertising, where ads are run, often under a generic brand. When the lead converts, it's then sent to the attorney who's buying the lead, and they then work that lead. Sometimes it's sent to multiple attorneys. Oftentimes it can be exclusive as well. Now, the important things to note with lead vendors is that one thing that I think most attorneys don't realize is lead vendors are very, very experienced lead generators. They are probably more experienced than the full service agencies by far at generating leads. They compete very strongly with the PPC lead vendors, the specialist agencies that are PPC focused. A lot of times specialist agencies will actually start selling leads. So, but they're probably the most experienced lead generators in the industry because they work on very tight margins. That's all they do is generate leads, and they really have to perform. They really have to generate a lead at a price that makes sense for an attorney, because if they don't, then they lose out, then their margin gets destroyed and they have some real problems. So lead vendors in general, I think oftentimes have a bad name because there's complaints about quality, but they don't all generate leads the same way. So if you're considering a lead vendor, it's really important to ask them where they're getting the leads, how they're generating them. Is it through Google? Is it through Facebook? Is it through YouTube? Is it through, a review website? Is it through an informational website that gets a lot of SEO traffic? And then the other component of that is, what is the message that's converting someone? If someone's reading about bankruptcy and the message is, get free bankruptcy help, convert now, and the people that are converting on that are expecting free bankruptcy help. They're not expecting to pay $1,600 or $2,000 to to an attorney to help with the bankruptcy. So understanding those calls to action is really important. Now, what you do lose out on is you don't have a very strong relationship with the lead vendors. Typically, they, you know, you can't help guide any strategy. You can't really choose the platforms. The quality is sort of the quality. So it's not a very partnership-based relationship. The leads are generated on non-branded websites or branded websites that are not your brand. So they're not converting on your law firm's brand. So when you call them, they're not really expecting you necessarily. And then you always have to ask about exclusivity if you have exclusivity on the leads. You also have to worry about other people coming into your market and buying up all the leads at a higher price. If you're running your own marketing campaign, you have control over, you know, how much you're running, kind of what your pricing is. But if you're buying leads from a lead vendor and they get a bigger buyer and they'll pay more for the leads, your leads will just dry up. And I hear this a lot from attorneys that I'm talking to. They'll say, yeah, I was buying from this lead vendor and they were going really well. And then all of a sudden they just stopped sending me leads. They just stopped sending because someone else started buying them. Their leads didn't dry up. They're just playing a margin game. And if it costs them, you know, if they're doing paid ads and it costs them $50 to generate the lead and you're buying them for 70 and someone else came in and bought them for 80, there's no reason to sell leads to you because someone else is buying them at a higher price. So we've talked about a full service agency. We've talked about a specialist agency. We've talked about lead vendors. And the fourth category is freelancer. Probably not as common, but still, you know, still out there quite a bit. So a freelancer is a, you know, a business of one person, basically. I think the freelancer kind of category really has more to do with the lifestyle of the individual and what they want to live more so than their skill set. Freelancers are typically one person that are running all the ads. They oftentimes have worked at large companies. Maybe they haven't. They have some sort of experience, but they're oftentimes highly specialized in one area. But you do have to ask them questions similar to full service and specialist agencies. Like, are you doing multiple services, SEO, PPC, website design? Or are you just doing PPC? They're a bit hit or miss. They can be very good. They're oftentimes more affordable than an agency. Not always, but probably the biggest challenge is that if something happens to them, they decide to go on vacation. I like to say if your freelancer goes on vacation, you know, your marketing goes on vacation. They go on vacation, then they're sort of checked out. You don't really have anyone to talk to. If they decide to take a full-time job, then they're oftentimes not working with the same number of clients. There's not a backup if something goes wrong. So freelancers can work out quite well, but it requires more active management than I think any of the other three options. If you find the right person and they have longevity, you can do really great with the right freelancer. But generally speaking, tends to be more transient, less of a committed relationship is what I often see. Not everyone, but that's what I often see. So freelancer is the fourth category of service provider that you can look at. Now, what I want to talk about next is compensation models, because number one, you have the type of agency you're going to look at. And then two, they're going to send you pricing and you need to talk about pricing. So again, our four solution providers for PPC advertising are a full service agency, a specialist agency, lead vendors, and then a freelancer. And as far as compensation models go, there are also four different compensation models. The first one is a fixed fee retainer. That means that the company says, hey, we're going to charge you $2,000 a month to run your ads, regardless of the size of the ad campaign. So if you're running $2,000 in ads or $50,000 in ads, we're going to charge you $2,000 a month. This is a really wide range. This could be anywhere from $300 a month at the very cheapest up to $5,000 a month. Just a huge range in this area. So the $300 a month, they are going to spend very little time on your accounts. Now, just remember what marketing companies are really doing is they're selling time, especially if you're paying them a retainer. So if it's $300 a month and they're US-based, they're probably spending no more than 3, maybe 4 hours a month on your campaign. If they're international, maybe they're spending more time, but you have language barriers and things like that that you have to deal with. So if they're spending more like $2,000 a month, and let's say their hourly rate's $100, they might be spending 20 hours max, but a lot of times they're spending even less than that. So fixed fee retainers are nice because it's the same amount every month. If the retainer and the ad spend is kind of in alignment, then it can work out quite well. If the retainer's $2,000 and you're only spending $1,500 in ads, not a great deal. If you're spending $2,000 on the retainer and you're spending $25,000 on ads, that's a relatively decent deal. That's a very common. One downside to fixed fee retainers is that there's limited incentive for the marketer to really improve the performance of the account. Yes, they want to make you happy, But beyond making you happy, making you ecstatic, or really taking it to the next level, there's not really incentive there. I just want to say, all marketers have good intentions. But unfortunately, intentions don't deliver results. So when we talk about limited incentive, it's, you know, the marketer has the intentions to generate good results for you as a client. However, they're not highly incentivized to go from good to great in the marketing campaign on a fixed fee retainer because they actually don't see any of the upside. Now they might for a while, maybe you're the lucky account that gets it. Maybe they're trying some experiments on your account and one of them works out. But generally speaking, there's a little bit limited incentive there. The next compensation model is the percentage of ad spend model. Now the range with percentage of ad spend can be anywhere from 10 to 30%. So if you're spending $10,000 in ads and you're paying 20% of ad spend, you'll be paying the agency $2,000. If you increase that to $20,000, then you'll be paying the agency $4,000. Now going from 10 to 20,000 a month from an agency perspective is not twice the amount of work. Maybe for a month they're spending additional time building out new campaigns, but just know that, you know, in the back of your head, if someone says it's a percentage of spend model and you double your spend, they're absolutely not spending twice the amount of work. That's just not how the advertising platforms work. You just don't need to do that. So the other kind of negative here is the incentive is to spend more. The businesses are incentivized to get you to spend more advertising dollars because they make higher fees. So the incentives are very out of alignment on percentage of ad spend. A, they're not incentivized to really maximize the performance, just like I was talking about before, to go from good to great. They might, but the incentive is not financially there. And B, they're actually financially incentivized for you to be spending more money. So they're not going to be as careful with your dollars. And if you do want to grow the campaign and you spend more money and it blows your cost per lead out of the water in a bad way, they're still going to make their fee and you're going to be the only one that's impacted. So percentage of ad spend, I don't really like that as a model, but it is very prevalent out there. Next, you have hourly billing, which is somewhat uncommon, probably the most common with a freelancer. The range can be quite varied from, you know, $15 if you're going international up to $100, $125 if you're staying local. It's very difficult to find a vendor that'll do hourly billing. Marketers don't like to do that in a lot of ways, especially in PPC advertising. And again, very low incentive. The work is commensurate with the income. So, you know, if you're only using them 3 hours a month and they're charging you $75 an hour, it's not really worth their time. And then it gets into this whole conversation on hours. So marketers don't really like to do hourly billing because it just gets too restrictive in a way. And then I think also when attorneys or clients just kind of in general see the number of hours, it's very hard to understand how much time is being spent analyzing and doing research in these ad campaigns. Building a campaign does not take an incredible amount of time. It's very easy to learn how to build a campaign in Facebook or Google. What requires a significant amount of time is analyzing the data, doing research, and optimizing the campaigns. So hourly billing is very uncommon, but you know, perhaps you could find something that works for you. And then the fourth compensation model is pay-per-lead. So pay-per-lead is you are paying when a lead is delivered to you. So the range for lead prices can be, you know, $15 to $1,600 for personal injury. You know, $15 might be a kind of a low-end employment law lead or something like that. $1,600 could be a high-quality personal injury lead. Now, the nice thing about pay-per-lead is there's a guaranteed lead price. But what you need to consider is what are the qualifications of that lead? The personal injury lead, are they guaranteed to be injured? What type of accident is it? You know, all those types of questions kind of come into play because if you're paying $500 for a personal injury lead and it comes in and the person was at fault, do you then pay for that lead? So it might be that you're paying $200 a lead and there's no distinction between were they at fault, do they have insurance, you know, were they injured? And you're just paying a low enough price per lead where it kind of backs into numbers that make sense for you. You know, $200 per lead, but you're closing one in 10. So you have a $2,000 cost per acquisition. That's not a bad deal necessarily. Now, if you're paying $500 per lead, you have the same scenario. That's a $5,000 cost per acquisition. That's a lot different. But if the criteria is a little bit tighter on that $500 cost per lead and closing one in five, then you have a $2,500 cost per acquisition. So still, even though you're paying more and have a better criteria, the $200 cost per lead with weaker criteria is going to perform better overall, converting one in 10, giving you a $2,000 cost per case versus a $2,500 cost per case. So don't focus too much on the price per lead, really focus on the qualification criteria and the quality of the lead. because, you know, we're in this space and we hear cost per leads all over the place. You know, I heard recently that a company was selling leads for $1,600 for personal injury. Well, we can generate leads for quite a bit less than that. But I don't know exactly what all their criteria is for that lead. So the price is based on the quality of the lead, where it's coming from, and practice area and the location of the practice. So the four different compensation models that you're typically going to see are a fixed fee retainer, a percentage of ad spend, hourly billing, and then the pay per lead model. So what we have at this point in time in this conversation is we have four different types of service providers for PPC advertising. We have four different pricing models. We have the full service agency, the specialist agency, the freelancer, and the lead vendor. And then we have the fixed fee model, the percentage of ad spend model, the hourly billing model, and the pay per lead model. And each provider typically tends to use a certain type of pricing model. So for example, full service agencies are almost always fixed fee or percentage of ad spend, which is very common in their industry. Full service agency offers a bunch of services. They generally do fixed fee for PPC or percentage of ad spend. A specialist agency is the same. They are typically doing fixed fee or percentage of ad spend. A freelancer is also typically doing fixed fee or percentage of ad spend, and you may find hourly billing on a platform like Upwork or Fiverr or something like that, but rarely will you find it, but they might do hourly billing. And then a lead vendor is always doing pay per lead. That's kind of their model. Like lead vendors kind of sit on the outskirts of this a little bit. It's a different type of relationship, a different type of pricing model, and it's just a little bit different. At Prevail, we actually do a little bit of a hybrid of these. So we're a specialist agency. We only do PPC for law firms. However, we work on a pay per lead model. We don't do percentage of ad spend or fixed fee. And so when someone comes to us and they say, okay, we want you to run ads for us, we say, okay, well, you're going to pay, or your retainer, you want to spend $5,000 a month. Great. So you want to spend $5,000 a month for this type of lead, let's say whatever, but some type of lead in a certain area, it's going to be $100 per lead, or we're going to guarantee $100 per lead. So you're going to be delivered 50 leads over the course of the month. If for some reason we only delivered 45, then the next month you won't pay $5,000, you only pay $4,500 because we didn't deliver the other five leads. And if we deliver more, then we can stop advertising for a little bit till the next month, like replenish it. So what we find is that the by providing that guarantee on the lead price, we're not really like a lead vendor. We're not generating leads off brand and then selling them. What we're doing is we're saying, okay, we're a PPC agency, we're partnering with you. You want to run these types of ads? Great. We're going to guarantee this lead price. We're going to put skin in the game. If it costs more to generate that lead, we're actually just going to take the hit because we believe in our services so strongly that we want to guarantee that lead price and guarantee the number of leads that you're going to get for a certain price. So the very last thing I wanted to talk about are agency red flags when you are trying to hire a PPC agency. So I'm going to go through a couple of these. So the first thing to ask about is reporting. If there's insufficient reporting to help you calculate your ROI, that's a red flag. What that means is that as you start working with this company that doesn't have sufficient reporting, what's going to happen is you're not going to know how your campaign's performing. If they're not providing you regular monthly updates, if it's difficult to calculate your ROI, then you're just not going to know how the campaign is performing. So it's a red flag if you ask about reporting and there's not a real clear answer, then that's something to be very careful of. I would also ask how many people manage the ads within the agency. It's a red flag if they only have one or two people managing the ads. It doesn't matter if it's the owner. It doesn't matter if it's an employee. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter how big the company is. Company could have 200 people. If they only have two people running ads, it's a very big red flag because people could leave, they get fired, anything could happen to them. And then all of a sudden there's a big gap in the agency. We already talked about this and it's very hard to fill that gap. Probably takes 6 to 12 weeks. If that gap exists there, then no one's going to be running your ads. I've actually talked to several agency owners that are in this situation that have full service agencies. And when they lose their ad managers, they come to agencies like ours to see if we can help. And in most cases, they don't hire us because we're like too expensive and they figure out some sort of band-aid solution so they can hire someone. So it's not a great place to be. I would also ask about how often you hear from your account representative. How often are there reporting calls? How often do they check in? How often are you hearing from them? If you don't hear from them regularly, then that's a problem. Now, typically, if you're paying $500 a month, $750 a month for someone to run your ads, you're probably not going to hear from them that often. If you're getting to 1500 or 2000, you're probably going to hear from them a lot more frequently, or at least you should. It's a red flag if they don't have an understanding of the overall strategy to improve your lead flow. You know, if you're talking to them and you're saying, hey, how can I get more leads? How can I diversify? How can I do this? And they just don't seem competent and they don't have really good answers that kind of like pass the gut check scenario, the gut check test, then that's a definite red flag that you want to be aware of. I would also ask how long people have been, how long the ad managers have been running ads. Many times agencies will bring in new people. And if there's a new person running ads on your account, they're definitely absolutely 100% going to be wasting your money versus an experienced ad manager. In pay-per-click advertising, the ROI on experience versus inexperience is very dramatic. And if someone goes in, they don't know how to run an ad account, they can absolutely crush a campaign. So I would ask how long people have worked at the agency and how long they've run ads to know exactly how your campaign is going to perform. You know, if you're working with a specialist agency, they should pretty much know what your cost per lead is going to be if they've worked in your practice area with attorneys before. If you're working with a full service agency, you tend to not get that information because they haven't spent as much time in PPC or in your practice area. So a couple of questions that you can ask as you're going through the process. Are you a full service agency or specialized? How many ad managers do you have? How many clients do you have? It's important to know if they have a, if you're working with a large company that has 200 clients, that's very different than a company that has 50 clients or 30 clients. Are your ad managers in-house, freelance, or white labeled? How often will you optimize the account? The account underperforms, what happens? We stop working together. Can I keep my account? Many times companies will keep the account. And what is your fee structure? So those are the most important things to consider when you're hiring a PPC agency. You want to know what type of company you're going to hire. And then you also want to know what their compensation model looks like. And you want to make sure those two things are in alignment. So that's all I have for you today. I really appreciate you listening. If you have any questions, please reach out. We're Prevail Legal Marketing. You can check us out at growwithprevail.com. And we'll see you in the next episode.